Welcome to the Feminine Podcast, the official podcast of Feminine, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminine.
And I'm Zara Cass, the other editor-in-chief of Feminine. Today, we have a guest who's familiar to all of you, hopefully. This is actually her second Feminine podcast appearance. In fact, she's our first repeat performer, and so we're excited to have her. Dr. Shannon McNamara is currently the SIM director at St. Luke's Sinai West, and she's soon to be joining NYU as the director of simulation and fellowship director. So, Shannon, welcome again to the Feminine podcast.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
So Jenny, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we are talking about something that Shannon is an expert on and has given me lots of tips and tricks on, and that is feedback. So Shannon, how do you want to start us off talking about feedback?
Sure. So I love talking about feedback. As a sim person, I get really into the academic world of debriefing and feedback conversations, and I've realized more and more that it applies beyond the sim lab and to the bedside. I think it would be helpful to maybe talk a little bit about your experiences with feedback to start us off with, why it's important, what some of the challenges are, and then I can guide us through a couple pearls on both giving and receiving great feedback.
Sure. I will start. You and I kind of had a conversation about this the other day about some of the things that I find particularly tricky in giving feedback. And the one that I mentioned that you kind of went, yes, that is a major one, is the wanting to be nice. The wanting to be nice issue.
Yep.
The issue with, you know, the residents and the med students are working hard and they're doing, you know, most of the time they're doing the best they can, or I think they are. And so there's something that makes me feel a little bit bad about criticizing people. So that was the first one that came to mind when we were talking. How about you, Dara?
Wait, so you're talking about feedback that you're giving and not feedback that you're getting, correct?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Giving feedback.
So you want to be nice when you're giving feedback.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think that's a good point. I think my biggest thing, so feedback, I think for me, is a really sore topic, right? It's something that I've, it's probably the hardest thing I've had to reconcile with in all of my training as a resident and then as an attending and as an educator and then as just an attending again, because I think that for me, there has been the opportunity to learn how to give feedback, but not always getting feedback from people that know how to give feedback.
Yeah.
Has been probably one of my sorest points. And I think that that's why I like the idea of having a actual educated and formal discussion about the process of feedback. I think it's very interesting. So if you go back to evaluations or feedback evaluations, emergency medicine, we've talked about this in the past, has been one of the first specialties to adopt true daily feedback. We have a robust opportunity to collect information on our learners and allow our learners to collect information on us. But we don't do a very good job teaching people about how to give that feedback and what kind of feedback is constructive and productive versus just your opinion, right? And so when I was a resident, it was really easy for people to give me their opinion on who I was and how I acted, and whether or not that conformed with my medical decision-making was kind of incidental. And so I kind of developed a emotional barrier to feedback, that somehow it was an opportunity for people to remind me what they thought of me, not as much about what kind of doctor I was. And then, so when I got to become an attending, I actually tried to make all my feedback really constructive. But ironically, when people gave me feedback on my feedback, it was still an opportunity for them to tell me how much they thought about how I communicated and what my style was. And again, it was always an opportunity that I felt like could be better formalized anywhere I was. And the other thing that I think is interesting about feedback is the idea of anonymous feedback, right? So when I was a resident, the best attendings that I had did not give me anonymous feedback, because they really wanted me to know what they thought of what I was doing academically. And those were the most non-personal evaluation, right? Those are the ones that really were weighted in my academic prowess, my medical knowledge, stuff like that. The anonymous feedback got personal a lot because people hid behind the idea of anonymity. And when you're an attending to a resident, you can choose whether or not that feedback is anonymous. But when you're a resident evaluating and attending, that feedback is always anonymous because the power dynamic is obviously different. And so I have, in the past 15 years of being an attending, or 10 years, I guess, have realized that residents giving feedback on attendings, as long as the anonymity is protected, we need to do a better job teaching them how to give feedback, because there is a line by which residents, and I'm sure I did it too when I was a resident, use the feedback of attendings to convey their frustration with either the program, the structure of the day, whatever that was. And those evaluations actually have a lot of weight and merit now, as we want our learners to feel valued in their opinions, and we want our educators to be really good attendings. And so I think I find that there's a lot of room for improvement when it comes to the process of feedback and the education of feedback. Not that I'm unloading all my baggage on this podcast.
That's some pretty legit baggage that I think a lot of us can relate to.
I also think that a lot of it, and again, this is where people, I think a lot of it's gendered. I think a lot of it is kind of the way that I communicate and who I am is not usually expected from a female, or if it is, it's not usually the likability bias hits you. And so that's why I think including so many conversations about feedback on the FemineM podcast, when we look back at the data, like when we had Dr. Aurora and Dr. Mueller here talking about the gendered evaluations and the feedback content that women and that male and female residents got in their evaluations, we know that the process of educating around feedback is something that we have to do better if we're actually trying to get to gender equity. Dr. McNamara, now it's up to you. Hear, hear.
So, Dara, you've given me a lot to work with here. What I'm hearing from you both is the importance of the relationships that we want to give productive constructive feedback while not changing our relationship with our learners or with our advisors. So I want to talk about three different main topics. One, smart feedback. Two, radically candid feedback. And then three is curious feedback. And think of this like axes. So the first axis of feedback is that it has to be smart. So Dara, you mentioned a few times people saying using feedback as an opportunity to kind of unload about what they didn't like about you. So it's really important to focus on the work, not the person, and to be very specific. So some people call this the camera check. So when you're giving feedback, you want to start with what you can objectively observe. So I see, I didn't see, I heard, I didn't heard, I heard here, I read, I didn't read. So it's very specific what you're talking about. And that gives your learner room to say, oh, you didn't hear me do the thing you thought I did. So I could say like, oh, you totally screwed that up. But if I say, I didn't hear you mention PE in your differential, and they say, oh, well, that's because the patient's already anticoagulated and had their INR checked yesterday. And I can say, oh, sounds like you considered it. Great. Next. And that's a way of focusing on the work and preserving the relationship. So that's the first step, is to make it specific. Then you want it to be so SMART is actually an acronym that we use for learning objectives, but I think it applies equally well to feedback. So SMART is for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based. And that's for good feedback or bad feedback. So like a common bad feedback that's positive is like, good job. Okay. It's not helpful because it's helpful. Not specific. I don't know what I did well. Like, tell me exactly. If you say, oh, I thought you did a really good job taking care of Mrs. Jones and, you know, whatever. Your intubation was great. Okay, super. But measurable, something you can see here, measure in some way. Achievable, so I'm not asking an intern to be an attending. Relevant and time-based. So another one that may happen a lot is like, read more. Okay. So maybe instead of that, I could say, you know, we had some challenges with airway today. Here's a video that I want you to watch today and then get back to me about what you think about it. So it's very, you want it to be as tangible as possible.
Yes, I'm just going to echo that. Some of the best teachers I had as a medical student and as a resident were the ones that were able to say, this is one case that you could do something better on. Read this thing tonight. You know, great. I can do that. Love it.
Right. So the SMART element, I think, is a foundation that you can build on. And that there is a relationship element there of by focusing on the work instead of the person and who they are, then we avoid some of that like blame and shame of our history of feedback in medicine, where we do a lot of pimping. We do a lot of like trying to be smart, look smart, but and preserve our self-identity, but we're not actually focusing on the work itself. Any questions about that before I go into the next part?
Well, I think that it also allows for a neutral mechanism by which you can unpack your like bias. So I have bias, obviously, everyone does. And so I may be the learner that I have a bad experience with in the past, and I'm trying to give them new feedback, and I'm trying not to carry that old feedback back into the new feedback. And if I am saying I'm looking for a discrete thing from that day that I can give smart, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based feedback on, like that also, by the way, to me, like the idea that it's specific, right? It's specific and you can do something in real time that gives you a next goal. That is so important, because putting it out into like the ethos of you should get better at, even if it's a specific thing, you need to get better at intubation. Okay, when's the next time I'm going to see an intubation with you? I have no idea. So there's no time basis for that. But if you're going to watch a video and say, listen, did you see the new kind of rescue modality to intubation? What do you think of using a bougie? And then you just talk about that. It's not a new intubation. It's a new skill. But it's a time-based thing that you can say, email me. I mean, we're all connected 24/7. There's no reason somebody can't email you after a shift and say, I did look at that bougie thing. I'm excited to use it. The next time we're together, if that doesn't happen soon, I'm going to try it with the next attending and let you know what happens. To me, that feels very, very relevant and very achievable.
I also really love the specific objective observations to start something off. So that can, I think that would help me with the kind of feeling like I'm being mean. If you keep it to the, I saw this, or I witnessed that, or I didn't hear this, then you're just going with the facts. You're just going with things you either saw or didn't see, heard or didn't hear. And that gives them the chance to, like Shannon said, that gives them the chance to say, oh, you didn't see this because, and then the whole thing, okay, fine, you move right on. But it keeps it in this objective realm and takes some of the feelings and judgments out of it, I think.
Yeah, in SIM, we talk about deliberate practice. So how do you become good at something? How do you become an expert? So deliberate practice is not just practice. Like, for example, I've been driving for over 15 years. I would not tell you that I am an amazing driver. I have not been coached to be an amazing driver. My goal is to drive a car and not hit anything. As a resident and as a learner in medicine, we're working towards a very specific goal and we're coaching. So deliberate practice is not just spending the time. Like, you're not just spending 3 or 4 years in an ER seeing patients. You're spending 3 or 4 years in an ER seeing patients with very productive coaching. And how can we make that coaching as useful as possible? So using the SMART feedback will help us help our learners grow, because it's not just time-based experience won't do it. They need a lot more specific direction in what they're working
on. Absolutely.
Okay, so Shannon, what's that second thing you were talking about?
Which was the second thing?
No, the second. So you said there was three things you want to talk about. Smart.
Oh, yeah. Second thing. Okay.
Radical candor. What is this?
Radical candor. We're going to dig into the relationships. So Radical Candor is a book written by a woman who worked in tech a bunch. And now, of course, I'm forgetting her name. It's Kim, I think. She talks about these two axes. So you want to challenge directly and care personally. And the intersection, so if you imagine a XY axis, and the Y is caring personally and the X is challenging directly, when you do both, you get to radical candor. And I think where the niceness trap is when she calls it ruinous empathy. It's when we care personally, but we don't challenge directly. It's when we like, I care about you, Jenny, so I'm not going to tell you that you have spinach in your teeth. When if I really cared about Jenny, I would say, Jenny,
yes,
you
always.
Spinach in your teeth. And there are elements, if I don't care about Jenny, I might be like, ugh, Jenny with the spinach in her teeth, or just like not care and not tell her at all. And just like not even think about it. Just be like, oh, who cares? Jenny looks like a fool with spinach in her teeth. I'm not even going to go there.
You don't have spinach in your teeth, Jenny, by the way. It is 9 o'clock in the morning when we're doing this. You haven't had spinach yet. So don't
Your teeth are lovely. The ruinous empathy trap is a big problem that a lot of us fall into in feedback, where we want to be nice to our learners so we don't tell them the hard stuff. And we struggle to challenge them directly on the positive as well as the negative. I think the SMART feedback helps us give better positive feedback instead of just like great job. but we still, even if we're being specific and we still struggle to give that more constructive feedback. And that doesn't help anyone. Like if I watch you fail and then I don't help you succeed afterwards, then you're going to fail again. So I think you can be kind and be direct while getting away from the niceness trap. And this is the Radical Candor book is really interesting. She's got a lot of videos. We'll include her website in the show notes. And it's really interesting. It's not specific to medicine at all. It's more of a business management book. What do you two think about that?
I love it in concept, but I still don't know the best way to go about doing it. So I assume in her book, she gives some techniques for that.
That's a good segue. So in simulation, so I run a sim fellowship. So I did the sim fellowship and then I've run it through like 5 or 6 fellows now. And it's basically a year of teaching people how to do this. And we do it in simulation, but once you do it there, you can do it at the bedside. And there's a lot of different scripts that exist in the simulation literature about how to how to do debriefing and how to give feedback. There's one in particular that I really like, but that takes a long time to get in your head. But I think this is the third axis of the radical candor that's not here, not in her book. But this comes from Jenny Rudolph. So Jenny Rudolph is an organizational development professional at Harvard in the anesthesia department, and she runs the Center for Medical Simulation, which is a really fantastic organization. But she has written a lot about this technique of advocacy inquiry, which is how to build curiosity into your feedback. So if we say our first access is to challenge directly, give smart feedback, our next access is to care personally and to be kind with our feedback, our third access is curiosity and to ask someone why. So the simplest version of this is I see, I think, I wonder. And that's actually like a kindergarten thinking exercise. So it's fun to Google on YouTube and see a bunch of kindergartners practicing this. But so say, Jenny, say I watch you totally miss an airway. So I would start with my objective, like my camera check. I see. So Jenny, I saw you go with direct. I didn't hear you say anything for 30 seconds. I saw the patient desaturate and then we bagged her up. Okay, so this is what happened. This is what we saw. I think I was concerned that you didn't say anything for that 30 seconds. I didn't know if you could see or you couldn't see or if you needed a bougie or a change of view. And I wasn't sure how to help. And I was concerned that we missed that first attempt at the airway and the patient had some transient hypoxia. I wonder, here's our third axis, what was going on for you? Like, what were you thinking in that moment? And the really, really, really hard part about this, part of it is the script, but part of it is getting yourself to that place of curiosity instead of being like, Jenny, you screwed up the airway. Get a bougie. What's wrong with you? To, I wonder what happened, what Jenny's experience in that moment was, and then meeting you there so that we can work on it together. Because there's so many different experiences you could have had that got you there. And if I just tell you what to do, my feedback may be meaningless to you because it isn't actually relevant to the problem, the frame behind the gap, the problem that caused the problem in the first place.
Yeah. And I think probably one of the crucial and challenging aspects there is to make that I wonder statement and then stop talking. And you mm-hmm. basically let the learner give themselves yep. their own feedback, which is kind of awesome.
Well, because feedback is a conversation. Right. Feedback doesn't work when it's I, Shannon, know everything and will tell you, Jenny, what I know. Well, that's not very useful. It needs to be a conversation. And to be a conversation, you have to wonder what the other person's perspective right. is. And we do a terrible job of this in medicine in general. So there's, you know, we don't ask our learners what they think most of the time. And it's not to say that experience doesn't matter. Like, I want to know what Jenny's experience is because I have more airway experience and I want to guide her through that. But I am also open to the idea that Jenny may know something that I don't know, and that will completely change the feedback conversation. And it's happened to me more times than I've imagined, where I go up to a resident and I'm like, why did you give this medicine? Why did you do this thing? And I try to frame it that way. And then they have a completely reasonable explanation that totally blows my criticism out of the water. And if I can get myself there, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a good point that you had. Okay, great. Keep on keeping on.
That's great. I love that as a model. I love it.
And Jenny Rudolph did a great smack talk on this concept, because I think transitioning from frustration to curiosity is really hard. And it takes a lot of practice. I encourage you to watch her smack talk, because it's a fun meditation on how we get there.
Great. We can put a link to that probably in our notes too, if it's up on the SMAC website.
It is.
Excellent.
Okay. So the last thing you wanted to talk about, which is getting curious, I think that's where you kind of looped that into this last conversation, correct?
Yeah. So I'll be honest, I read the paper on advocacy inquiry, which is kind of scripting that curiosity piece. And it probably took me a year to figure out what it meant. That's like really advanced level feedback, is getting to the curiosity piece and coming at it not just from, okay, I saw something, I want to teach my learner something, but I saw something, I want to teach them something, and I'm really curious what they think. So if you've been giving feedback for a while, I would really push yourself that way to see if you can build more curiosity about your learners. As far as the scripting goes, I see, I think is a good start. I see, I think, I wonder is another one. There's also if you're still starting with feedback, ask, tell, ask is another scripting model. So say Jenny and I have a shift together, and I say, first I ask, say, Jenny, how did the shift go? And then I tell, and I'll say, you know, this is what I think. I saw this, you know, this behavior, this performance, and my recommendations would be this. And then ask the learner, okay, now what's next? What are we going to do with this? And that's a very simple way to structure the conversation. And if you're able to, like, you don't necessarily have to get at their frames too deeply. Like, you're asking them how they thought the shift went. You're giving them very specific, smart feedback in the middle. And then you're asking them how to make it actionable. The thing to avoid is the feedback sandwich. Have you guys heard of the feedback sandwich?
I thought it had a different name, actually.
We call it the shit sandwich.
Thank God for our explicit rating.
So I was when I first learned about feedback, I learned about the shit sandwich. And it is you tell someone something nice, and then you say something constructive, and then you say something nice again. But then people get really defensive if you say nice things to them, because they're expecting you to say something negative.
It's like a Pavlovian response to compliments.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, so at the end of the day, it's about creating a work environment where you can give psychologically safe feedback, where people know that, and like NASA is like this, medicine is not, but where you know that everyone's trying to do a good job. Everyone's well-trained. Everyone's human. Everyone's going to screw up sometimes. And we all need to catch ourselves. Like, I need my residents to tell me if I'm making a med error. I need the nurse to tell me if she thinks I'm wrong. I need, and I'm going to tell other people when I'm concerned about things. And it's all of our job to help our patients and keep our patients safe. And that requires us to flatten the hierarchy and speak up and give each other constant feedback about how things are going. And not letting our egos get in the way.
So I think sorry, I don't want to interrupt. But I feel
it's about those personal relationships and that cultural institutional safety that we've been really struggling to implement in medicine in a systemic way.
So I think that's actually one of the unique things that we do in emergency medicine versus other fields of medicine, insofar as where our hierarchy is flatter. I mean, how often do you go to work and you deal directly with a medical student and you give them, you kind of see a patient together one-on-one. An attending can be out 20, 25 years and they can work directly with medical students. It's not a mandate that there's like these layers of, you know, communicator between, right? But I think that the thing that I kind of want to like summarize with this whole thing is this cultural idea that we are all there for the same goal, which is take really good care of patients and take really good care of each other. So one of the things that the reason why I think this is so important to talk about is because of the struggling resident and or the struggling attending, right? So somebody that we know has challenges, whether they be organic related to even a learning disability or a communication style or they're having a really bad time in their home life and it's infusing into their work life and they're getting crazy feedback, all negative, about what they're doing at work. And that's facilitating this feed forward mechanism against how bad they feel about themselves. And so one of the cultural shifts that we need to have across the board is the ability to be critical in a constructive way, but also really understand that we all came into medicine for the right reasons. Every learner we have has really achieved remarkable things to get where they are. So once you match somebody in your residency and they show up day one, they've already accepted themselves as one of the top 1% of learners in America, yeah. Right? Even the world. And so you need to see them with that lens, not this is my weakest resident. Right? Because it comes to the point where we look at these, and I see this so often with the bottom third of residents and the ones that need the most help. We look at them as if they're broken and weak. And especially in emergency medicine, where we're so kind of like we have this hubris about being astute and making decisions quickly and, you know, being right all the time. And for the person that's at that bottom rung when it comes to either decision-making capability or confidence or whatever, chances are that's kind of that's the canary of the coal mine of their life right now. And they're the most vulnerable, right? And so I don't know that I'm very good at this also. I mean, I think that like my intellectual observations and my ability to execute in real time are completely separate. And so I have to accept that about myself or else I would, you know, I cannot be nearly as good as I think I could be, you know? But I think that it's the resident specifically who needs the most help that needs us to do this the most. Right? The great resident, the one that's like, I mean, look, the Jenny, right? Jenny was my resident. She didn't need anything. She needed to be able for me to stay out of her way for the most part. You know, I mean, she did need like little tweaks here and there, but her instincts were right. Her energy was good. And she, for the most part, knew where she was going. That's easy to do. It's the residents that are not easy, but you have to see them from the lens of how much they've achieved before they got to you to understand how important it is to do this part right. And I think that that kind of frames the whole idea of using the objective data, making it achievable, making it specific, putting it in a time context, doing it in a culture that feels supportive, and really making it seem like you care about them when you're doing this will make the whole thing transition from a culture of, you know, pimping and anger and frustration and sadness and now suicidality, right? Because we cannot separate the idea that if we're going to be critical of each other, which is what we expect in medicine, we're also going to open up wounds of somebody that they have that they bring to work that we don't even know they have. And so I think we have to think about all this from that lens, which again is why I think this is a good platform to keep talking about this and giving anybody out there skills they may be able to use going forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is probably not our one and only feedback podcast because I think there's probably a lot more to talk about here. We can put these books that Shannon mentioned and the link to the Smack Talk and all of that in the show notes so that everybody can do some homework on feedback and work on their feedback skills. And then maybe we circle back to this conversation again a little bit later.
And with that, I want to thank you, Dr. McNamara, for joining us again for your second of many.
Hopefully. Thank you for having me. Always a delight.
And it was nice to see you register for the FemineM conference. Fix 18, you have your ticket fair and square.
I do. I'm speaking. I'm so excited.
Exciting. Okay, so a couple of announcements, Jenny, for that. I imagine by the time this podcast airs, we will be sold out of tickets for the conference. But please, please, please put yourself on the wait list for the attending tickets if we are sold out. Considering there are 10 tickets as of the recording of this, I think they're going to be gone. We are also excited to announce something new and special that I believe will be announced before this podcast airs, but it's the addition of the Affix Room, AFFIX. The brilliant name was really just put out because we want to make sure that you know that you can be at the conference in addition to the conference tickets we've already sold. These are going to be for residents and fellows who have first put themselves on the wait list and or if available to the general populace. It's going to be a $99 ticket for an on-site live stream of the conference. The room itself will be hosted by none other than Jan Schoenberger, the program director at LA County. This room is being sponsored exclusively by MRAP, which is amazing. When we realized we wanted to provide an additional space for residents, they were ready, willing, and able to step up the plate and really help us make this happen. The ticket will come with conference admission, your own swag bag, and the opportunity to join all of our networking events on site. And then also you can buy a ticket to the welcome party as well, which is going to be amazing. We're really excited to be able to extend this to another 225 residents because we were sad to see the resident waitlist grow so quickly, to be honest. We've never seen the ability of more people wanting to come to something make us so sad. So anyway, so this seems like a reasonable solution. And other than that, Jenny, I think that you may have an announcement about the next FemM 17 conference lecture.
Just the next Fix 17 podcast is going to be from Marina Del Rios, and she's talking about how emergency physicians can also serve as community activists. So take a listen to that.
So with that, I want to say thank you again to Dr. McNamara.
Absolutely. This was fun.
And thanks, Dr. Beck Esme, again.
Absolutely.
And we will see all you guys next week.
Bye.